T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
I have a confession. I'm addicted to the news.
You know I'm totally off script right now.
Journalism is cool again, and you have endless content, let's be honest.
And this is how I got elected, by being off script.
Now, Mark Reardon.
Well, I think he's got a lot of hand movement. I've never seen so much hand movement. I said, is he crazy, or is that just the way he acts?
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
I'd like to have a banana split, and I'd like to have 3 scoops of ice cream, vanilla and chocolate and strawberry, with chocolate syrup on it, and cherry syrup and pineapple syrup with a whole bunch of whipped cream, and I want extra cherries on top.
That was the first thing I heard this morning when I was listening to KMOX. How weird is that dude, Rod Blagojevich? Fred, did I ever interview him in the past? Do you remember? Was he on here? I think he was a long time ago. I don't think we ever met him in person. One thing we learned about Rod today is that he has, he used to dye his hair. Let's face it. I think we all knew he was dyeing that jet black hair, and he came out, he's got all white hair, and then he cut himself shaving. If you didn't see this morning, so he goes out for his big welcome home news conference, and he's like gushing blood from his chin.
Sorry about this blood.
He basically says that he hasn't, he didn't know how to shave. You know, he was shaving with a razor. You can't have razors in the joint, right? So I hear.
It's been a long, long journey.
That's right.
I'm bruised and I'm battered. I'm bloody. It's been a long time since I've shaved with a normal razor, and it takes a little practice. I'm sorry about that. I got to keep dabbing the blood.
He is probably weirder than ever. And he did provide years ago, if we're being honest, and I can't believe that this goes back as many years as it did. We used to have a lot of fun with some of the audio tape. I mean, I remember just doing all of the shows around the recordings when he was trying to sell the Senate seat. So I have no empathy for Rod Blagojevich. I think you can make the case, and some of you will maybe have to explain this to me. And I'm even seeing some of the Trump loyalists that are just scratching their head on this one. Do I really care if he's out before 14 years? I guess not. Did he serve enough time? Maybe you can make the case. I think some people, and there was a pretty good piece by a woman named Natasha Kurecki on Politico, where she covered this trial, and she says, and this was interesting background, that the guy who sentenced Blago, his name is Judge James Zagel, and she had also sentenced a guy that was a mob informant, Nick Calabrese, 12 years in prison. So think about this. Rod Blagojevich, 14 years. Calabrese got 12 years. Now, he was an informant, so he helped take down other people in the mob, but he also killed 14 people, and he murdered people. So that, you know, you compare and contrast that. Now, you have situations. Steve Stanger, most prominently here in St. Louis. I think Jeff Smith, former state senator, is on the roundtable now. He went to federal prison and paid his dues, but you're going to have, and I think this is right, there's a higher standard for someone who's a public official or a governor. Now, the motivation for Trump here, I don't really understand it, but there's a lot of things that I don't understand with Donald Trump. So what's the win here? Here's the thing that's most fascinating to me, and this is the part that people will write books about this in the future, and they'll, they'll study this in classes to a certain extent. It's the whole nature of the psychology with people who, many of whom are listening right now, that can never, ever sit back and say, okay, well, maybe he shouldn't have done that. Now, I saw a tweet. I gotta see if I can find this tweet, because this was a tweet from someone yesterday who is a hardcore Trump person and tweeted about Blagojevich and basically, you know, gave him a complete pass on this. I can't find the... I applaud him for the use of the pardon powers. It's legitimate and used to be and should be routine. It should check on the justice system, which is probably true. But in this case, was it really necessary? I say yes. And you know why? Because Blago's back, and he's going to give us a lot of audio tape. Now, I want to get to some of that here this afternoon, but I also want to tell you we're going to talk about the debate tonight in Vegas. I think this is must-see TV, ladies and gentlemen. It's on MSNBC. I have the DVR set. I really have not watched any of these debates for too much of a time, and we've played audio. We've broken them down the day after the debates, but there have been too many people on stage, and it's hard to get anything. But tonight with Mike Bloomberg on that stage, I think all bets are off. So Steve Futterman is out in Vegas. We'll talk about it here in just a couple of minutes with him. Mark Montalbano gets in the another former Republican who says he's a Democrat right now, getting into local politics once again, entering the St. Louis County executive's race. Attorney General Eric Schmidt is going to drop by this afternoon. He has kicked off his re-election campaign, and I have a bunch of other stuff to get to, including one thing that is really, really troubling, and this is one of those events that really kind of puts things into perspective with your life or with my life or with anyone's life going through tough things, not to minimize any of the challenges that you would have. But I found out about this yesterday late in the show that Drew Carey's former fiance, Amy Hardwick, was brutally murdered over the weekend, thrown from a balcony in Los Angeles by her ex-boyfriend. I'd never met Amy, but she was very close with my friend George Gray and his current wife. And you had Wendy Williams, and they're devastated because they all knew each other. The Price is Right is not taping this week because Drew was still very close with her. They were engaged a couple of years ago, and then they broke up, described as amicable. I think I asked George at one point about that, and he looks, none of my business. But Wendy Williams, who's had this weird stretch of inappropriate things on her show, said this about Amy Hardwick, Drew Carey's fiance.
She was killed not by Drew, but by the ex. Come on down.
I mean, she tries to make a come on down joke, and you could hear, just listen to the audience. They're even baffled.
Was down there dead on the ground, pushed off of a third floor balcony. Come on down.
Wow. I didn't even know how to respond to that, you know, so we'll just kind of let that sit there. But back to Rob Blagojevich and some of the things that he said after he's out today. He's thanking Donald Trump, of course.
Yeah, I want to express our most profound and everlasting gratitude to President Trump. How do you properly thank someone who's given you back the freedom that was stolen from you? He didn't have to do this. He's a Republican president. I was a Democratic governor. And doing this does nothing to help his politics. President Trump is a man who is tough and outspoken, but he also has a kind heart. And this is an act of kindness, and I also believe it's the beginning of the process to actually turn an injustice into a justice.
I mean, give me a break. This is the part about Rob Blagojevich that I just can't accept. Injustice. He lied to the FBI repeatedly. We have him on tape trying to sell the Senate seat. I mean, there's no debate about that whatsoever. He held up money to a flipping children's hospital and a racetrack because he wanted campaign contributions. Now, again, you can make a legitimate case that his sentence was excessive, and people have, but he's not remorseful whatsoever, and Trump just commutes the sentence. So he keeps heaping praise on Trump and talks about his prison experience.
I spent my first 32 months in prison, nearly 3 years, behind what the inmates call the razor wire, the barbed wire fence. You can't go near that fence. If you do, there are prison guards there armed with machine guns who have the discretion to shoot you. I didn't go near that fence. The buildings behind that fence where the inmates live and sleep are squalid places. They're cold and dark like tombs. There were about 900 inmates there. Drug dealers, cartel members, gangbangers, bank robbers. There were men there who committed murder. Con artists, a lot of sex offenders. About 2% of the population were in the so-called white-collar category.
He's very descriptive with his words. He reminds me of Kevin Killeen in a sociopathic kind of way. Not exactly, you know, I'm not trying to compare Kevin. I got in trouble with that. He lived in this little tiny cell. We have to have empathy and sympathy for Rob Blagojevich.
For most of my time there, my home was a 6-foot by 8-foot prison cell. With four cement walls, a big, heavy iron door that can shut you in, a small window with bars on it, and a bunk bed. I slept on the top bunk. Often late at night, I would look through that window and past those bars out into the night sky, and I'd think of home. I think of my children. I think of Patty.
Okay, I just threw up a little bit in my mouth listening to Rob Blagojevich say that. And I have no sympathy for him whatsoever. I think he's a despicable human being. I would have been fine with him rotting away in a prison cell for the full 14-year sentence. And again, I don't know what the win here is for Donald Trump. Now, again, and I said this yesterday, you want to look at different pardons over the years, different commutations, things that have really set people off. Every president does some things that are a little confusing. I mean, President Obama commuted the sentence of a guy who was responsible for bombing buildings in the 1970s, killing six people, Oscar Rivera Lopez. He pardoned Chelsea Manning. You probably could make a case that Chelsea Manning's sentence was excessive because it was 35 years and there was no violence involved. But still, this one is more than just a head scratcher. But we'll see what the political benefits are moving forward in the future. The other thing about Blago, let me just play this one thing, because he's trying to turn his whole experience into a cause for prison reform.
Our president is he's tough and outspoken, and he has the courage to challenge the old way.
That's right.
He's the one who's actually fighting to bring real change. That's why he gets so much pushback.
Thank you.
Notwithstanding being tough, he's also a man with a kind heart.
That's right.
He sees wrong and he tries to right it, just like he did in the case of Alice Marie Johnson. You know who she is, the grandmother from Alabama who served 21 years in prison on a life sentence as a first-time nonviolent drug offender.
Well, yeah, that was outrageous, and those are the kind of cases you should probably be taking a look at anyway. Blago is back, and I've already asked Fred if he can get him lined up for the Reardon Roundtable on
a
Friday.
How about Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
That's right. I will not be here this Friday, as just a programming note. The funny thing, I was going to see, and I've mentioned this a couple of times, going to see the Doobie Brothers, became friends with Mark Russo, their sax player, because Mike Claiborne introduced me, and they're doing a residency at the Venetian. I got a text last night from my buddy out there, said the Doobie's canceled. And sure enough, I heard from Mark Russo. Tom Johnson, he said, Tommy lost his voice. Tom Johnson, lead singer, one of the founders of the Doobies, no voice. There's a bug going around, not the coronavirus, but they had to cancel the stretch of shows. So I'm going to still go out there. But you know what? You know what's going on out there? There's a debate tonight. There's a caucus on Saturday. Steve Futterman is there. He joins us next on KMOX.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show.
When you're out of my sight, you must constantly Twitter me exactly what you're up to.
Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Reardon, KMOX.
And you can follow on Instagram at Mark Talk as well. Coming up a little bit later, Mark Montavani, who is announcing he's back in the race for county executive. He ran last time around. Former Republican, ran as a Democrat. I think he's going to do that again. Jake Zimmerman is in that race, the county auditor. We'll have a little bit more on that, and he'll join us at 2:35. We have a big debate tonight on MSNBC. Steve Futterman is in Sin City, joins us this afternoon, preview CBS News correspondent. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing great in the, as they call it, the gambling mecca. I love that terminology for Las Vegas, the gambling mecca.
I should have planned my trip a little differently, but I am due out there on Friday. Truth be told, and I mentioned this earlier, I'm going out to see the Doobie Brothers. The only problem is the Doobie Brothers will not be there. They had to cancel their shows out there temporarily because Tom Johnston, their lead singer, doesn't have a voice. So I'm still going to come out there, but I guess I should have planned it a couple of days earlier.
You're coming on Friday?
Yeah, Friday.
I'll be there Friday, Saturday. Listen, we have the caucus on Saturday, and I'm hoping the caucus ends early enough that I can go to the heavyweight championship fight on Saturday night in Vegas.
What's the fight? See, now I'm free. That was the night we were supposed to see the Doobies, so maybe I should head over to that.
Yeah, it's Wilder and Fury. I don't know what the tickets are or costing. I'm getting a press credential, as you might expect. But yeah, their last fight was quite a battle, and we'll see what happens.
You know, I've never been to a big fight like that. I've been to one here in St. Louis, but nothing along those lines. So that might be fun to do. And look, my buddy who's out there, he's got tons of money. I'll just tell him to buy the tickets on StubHub.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Listen, I'm old enough to have gone to some of the classic fights, you know, Hagler and Hearns, and I went to some Muhammad Ali fights. A great heavyweight fight with all the buildup. There's nothing like it in Las Vegas.
So you actually saw Muhammad Ali in person?
I interviewed Muhammad Ali a number of times. I'm showing my age. I hate to do that, but because it's Muhammad Ali, I will do it. Yeah, he was a boyhood idol of mine. I ended up covering him and was at a number of his fights and interviewed him several times. And yeah, Ali was obviously the unique character of our times.
What was the documentary that was out about the Rumble in the Jungle that was just fantastic?
Yes, When They Were Kings.
Amazing movie.
Beautiful movie. And listen, Ali does not come across always that well in that documentary. Ali was doing some mean stuff to George Foreman. It was psychological warfare because he felt it was just boxing ability. Foreman was stronger and younger, and Ali used the psychological battle to beat him. What I found moving, by the time the movie came out, Foreman was touring with Ali to promote the film. At that point, Ali was already hit pretty hard with Parkinson's. George Foreman, maybe one of the nicest human beings I've ever met. You know, he's a believer. He's at peace with himself. That was the most humiliating moment of his boxing career, being beaten by Ali. Yet he's going around with Ali, touring with him, promoting him and the movie and the fight. I found it very moving how Foreman reacted.
It's just one of those movies that has stuck with me, and I always recommend it to people. Really, really amazing. So let's talk about the Rumble in Las Vegas tonight, because, you know, look, Steve, as much of a political junkie as I am, even these previous debates have been just too much for me. From the standpoint, you can't even hear what people are saying. There's too many voices up there. I would say this one tonight with Mike Bloomberg on the stage is probably must-see TV or must-listen-to radio.
Yeah, listen, on paper, it looks great. We've been to, I'll bring it back to sports events again. Sometimes there's a big buildup for a sports event, a boxing match or football game. Sometimes it lives up to expectations. Sometimes it doesn't. So going into this debate, yes, if it lives up to expectations, this is going to be something to see, because you're going to have Bloomberg, Michael Bloomberg, on stage for the first time. And guess what? They're all going to some degree go after him. Bloomberg knows that. He knows what the attacks are going to be. I don't think there's going to be any surprise attacks on him. How is he going to respond? He's been able to rehearse the responses. And we'll see how he does. It's going to be very, very interesting.
Is there any doubt at this point that Bernie Sanders would win the caucus, or is this still something that's up for grabs?
First of all, with the disclaimer that you never know, I would say it's probably looks like it's Sanders to win or lose right now. He seems to have a substantive lead. The one thing I would say, the polling here in Nevada is notoriously sketchy. Sometimes it's accurate, sometimes it isn't. They just don't have enough regular polling to be confident with the polls that we see. But the polls right now show Bernie Sanders with a fairly comfortable lead, Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren coming in 2-3. But there's a significant gap between 1 and 2.
Yeah, Steve, how does this caucus work then on Saturday? Maybe I'll bust into one of these things and see it firsthand instead of enjoying myself in Las Vegas. That's highly doubtful. But how is it different from what happened in Iowa?
Well, hopefully it's different in the sense that we get the results the same day as the caucus.
Yes.
But beyond that, they're very similar in many, many ways. You have the people come in. You have to reach a certain threshold at these caucuses to allow your candidate to continue being viable. If your candidate isn't viable, you are then solicited, recruited by the other campaigns that are still viable, and you get an eventual result.
So the you know, the surprise, I guess, to me, and this may certainly change after this weekend as we get closer to South Carolina and then Super Tuesday, is that there are a couple of these candidates that are hanging in there that are not polling well. Elizabeth Warren certainly comes to mind. So maybe the expectation tonight, what fascinates me is they're going to go after Bloomberg, but they're also going to go after Bernie tonight because he's the front runner.
Yes, but maybe not as much as you would expect. I think if the focus continues to be on Bloomberg, that maybe Bernie Sanders may get a bit of a pass, or he won't be attacked as much. Normally the front runner is the one who comes under attack, but tonight it's going to be the newcomer who comes under attack. But listen, it's 2 hours. There's plenty of time to go after both Bloomberg and Sanders. Maybe they can divide the debate. The first hour, you go after Bloomberg. The second hour, you go after Bernie Sanders.
Well, I just think it's going to be a little bit easier because the field has been slightly winnowed down here just to hear the perspectives from each of the candidates. So this is a real important debate.
It could be. I mean, listen, I was with four of the candidates yesterday. They were in a number of places. So I was able to spend some time with them. People like Pete Buttigieg, Joe Biden, and even Bloomberg, they are going to go after, I would think, Bernie Sanders on his social programs, on the spending. Will they bring up the S words, socialists? Perhaps, perhaps not. Maybe they don't have to. But they're going to raise concerns like, is he electable? Will these goals that he has, which seem very noble, will they be realistic enough? The term realistic I think may come up quite a bit in this debate tonight. So I think Bernie Sanders, there will be time to go after him. But Bloomberg, again, he is the he's the one we're all looking at. He's in the spotlight. What will he do? Can he do it? You know, that's the big question. He's a newcomer. Can he do well in the debates? He hasn't been in the debate since 2009 when he ran for mayor for the third time. And we'll see. You know, rust is an issue with him since you haven't been in the debate. These other candidates, this is their ninth debate. They are pretty used to it. There's a reason they have spring training in baseball. You know, Mike Trout's a great player, but he needs spring training to get into game form. Is Michael Bloomberg going to be in debate form tonight? We'll see.
Futterman, I'm not going to ask you to pick a winner tonight. That would be improper as a journalist, but I am going to ask you to pick between the Bronze Bomber and the Gypsy King for Saturday night.
Oh, wow.
Can you do that?
Gypsy King.
Yeah, is that who? I don't even know if these are the guys. Is that the guys?
I don't know.
Wilder
no, I don't
and
know.
Fury,
I don't
right?
know.
Wilder? That's who you said it was, right? Wilder and Fury?
Yeah, yeah. Devontae Wilder and Tyson Fury.
So I just learned this because I Googled it. Wilder, the Bronze Bomber, Fury, the Gypsy King.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tyson Fury. We'll see. It's a fascinating fight. Wilder is the champion, WBC champion, so this is a heavyweight championship fight, and it's not quite the flavor as Muhammad Ali boxing, but, you know, you take what you can get.
I might sneak into that on Saturday night. We'll see. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate your time this afternoon.
Should I say it?
Yes.
Blink 182.
There it is. It's back. Thank you, Steve.
Okay. Take care.
That's just a little long-standing joke there with Futterman because he said blink. Dave, what did he say that one time? It's like blink 152 or something. 142, that was it. He showed his age on that one, too. And by the way, that movie, I was thinking about it after talking about it. It's When We Were Kings. I wish I could tell you if you can find it on Netflix or iTunes. It was out probably 20 plus, maybe even 25 years ago. Great, great documentary. So and that's one of those documentaries. Look, any good documentary, even if you're not a boxing fan, you know who Muhammad Ali is. That was one. I never did this. I always said I would show it to my kids because it was just such an impressive moment in time that they captured with those two guys, and really, really interesting, especially if you know George Foreman from the George Foreman grill commercials, which I think a lot of people do know from years ago, and they don't remember how mean and imposing he seemed to be during his fighting days. We'll come back. Mark Montavani is running for county executive. He's done that before. He's going to join us here in just a couple of minutes on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From pitchers and catchers reporting through the final pitch of the spring. Hey, it's Chris Raby. I'm in Florida, and I'll have daily spring training reports mornings and afternoons. Sponsored by Together Credit Union. Share your dreams, we'll share the journey. And by Norm's Bargain Barn, the place for discount windows, doors, and cabinetry. On your home, the Cardinals KMOX.
Definitely want to talk about them. Hanging on to this LA Times column, one of the guys that was involved with Seinfeld years ago, and he wrote this column, op-ed piece. Have you heard this one? Los Angeles can't take a joke. I think the whole country can't take a joke. And his story, Peter Melman is his name. His story, I think, is very relatable. And lo and behold, on this very date, you know, Facebook memories came up from a post, something that I wrote 10 years ago today, that I'm not so sure I could get away with posting. And I'm going to tell you, I'll read it verbatim. It's just one line. But my producers and I were talking about it. If I would post that today, there would probably be blowback. So we'll get to that here in just a couple of minutes. Eric Schmidt is the attorney general of the state. He's going to join us. He just kicked off his reelection campaign. And another campaign kicked off today. There aren't many politicians. In fact, I don't know of any except this guy, that have maybe better hair than I do. But Mark Montavani, he's got that going for himself. I don't know if you can do a campaign ad about that, Mark, but you know, if you want to quote me, I'd be willing to go on the record.
Yeah, I think we'll try to find other issues to talk about.
How are you, first and foremost?
I'm good. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, look, your name has been obviously circulating as someone who would get into this race because of getting in last time. I think I probably asked you this when you were in the race last time. Why would you want to do this at this point?
Well, I think it's not that complicated, Mark. You know, if you have spent as much time in this community as I have over the course of my lifetime, I have seen it struggle, and it continues to not progress, at least not satisfactorily for me. It's really all about the community and the fact that I think we're just treading water, and we continue to be surpassed by other communities across even the Midwest. You probably heard me say this before, but when I was growing up in St. Louis, the city was the 10th largest city in America, and St. Louis was very prominent in kind of the national consciousness. We were in the middle of a lot of stuff, from the space program to downtown redevelopment initiatives. And really, over the course of my lifetime, I have seen us move from having peer cities like San Francisco and Boston to trying to compete with Wichita and Omaha. And as a practical matter, I think that is unacceptable. We don't focus enough on the right substantive issues, in my opinion. We lose too many of our young people. We underperform in a whole range of different kinds of categories, from job growth to people moving out of poverty to crime statistics. And I'm tired of it. And I think that it is incumbent upon those of us who love St. Louis to do what we can. I think that in many cases, St. Louis's leadership has had to come from the private sector because our government leadership has not always been forward-looking. It's been slow and ineffectual in many cases, and I want to change that. I get asked every day, and that is not an exaggeration. Every day, people ask me if I'm going to run again, if I will run again. They encourage me, and it's just hard for me to sit on the sidelines, watch the community sort of tread water, and not do what I can to help the place. I know you reference politicians and whatnot. I don't plead guilty to being a politician. I have no political aspirations beyond helping my community. This is the only job I want. This is the only job I would run for, and that is done purely as an act of service to my hometown.
If you, though, you know, of course you do. You follow what goes on in the news with the county council, and obviously some of this happened with the county executive that's in prison right now. But city and county government both tend to be a bit of a mess and what I guess I would refer to as a blank show. So I think a lot of people would sit back, Mark, and say, can anyone fix that?
Yeah, well, I'm an optimist. You know, I understand people being frustrated. I am too. I'm impatient. I get very frustrated when we don't make progress. I think part of the problem is leadership tends to get too deep into the weeds, you know. One of the most important responsibilities of a leader is to inspire the community, to think bigger, to have ambition, to address its problems aggressively, acknowledge them, but address them. And the part of this that I find frustrating is that our leaders tend to live in the weeds. I haven't even followed the story that closely yet, but, you know, the story from last night around whether we're going to put iPads, our notebooks, in the county jail. Well, I know that matters. I'm not suggesting it's totally irrelevant, but I'll be darn if that's the kind of thing that is going to allow this community to compete more effectively with Nashville and Indianapolis. People here have to identify leaders that think bigger. That's a big part of leadership.
So where does the county-city merger play into all this? Obviously, the whole plan went belly up, but you were then appointed by Sam Page to the Board of Freeholders. You resigned that position. So as a county executive candidate, what would you say about that? Because everyone seems to agree that I've heard you say this just in this interview, we need to work better as a region. I think everyone recognizes the challenges, the problems. But when it comes to that potential for the future, where is Mark Montavani right now?
So I believe in the process of the Board of Electors. I have advocated for that. I believe it is imperative that our community deal with its fragmentation in a way to create more collaboration across the region. The Board of Electors has the potential to do that. My decision to withdraw from the board should not be interpreted in any significant way as a denunciation of the opportunity or the potential of that group. I want that thing to be active and succeed. I had to make a personal decision about where I thought I could make a bigger difference.
Right.
And I think I can make a bigger difference as county executive than I can being a member of that board. But I am optimistic and hopeful that that thing will come together and help the region present a different government structure in order to be more effective in the future.
Why not? You used to be a Republican, right?
No, I was never a Republican.
You never were a Republican? Like a declared?
I was never a Republican.
Okay.
No. Look,
right.
I mean, I understand how you get confused, but I was a businessman. I worked with Republicans and Democrats. I'm running as a Democrat for the second time. That whole thing about making this all about partisan politics, I think that county voters are sort of tired of that.
I think county voters are too.
I
do too, but I don't think that the county. Let me offer an example of where there's division still outside of job growth and economic potential. So the chair of the county council, Lisa Clancy, tweets yesterday, and there's a meeting tonight for the police commission. It says county residents, business owners, others who are impacted by the St. Louis County PD. My reaction to that was impacted, not protected, and that's a leader in our community. There's nothing on her Twitter site about the cop that was shot in Ferguson, because that doesn't play well with the cop-hating crowd. The reason I bring it up is because you will have challenges with certain segments of the electorate, because potentially you might have different positions. So on Lisa Clancy's statement about impacted residents when it comes to the St. Louis County Police, do you have any reaction to that?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. As a practical matter, though, let me tell you what I think about the police. The police have a very difficult job. Their primary focus, as you know, in St. Louis County is to protect and serve. Those are two things that are damn hard to argue with, right? I am as supportive as I can be of the police. That does not mean that police, unlike anybody, shouldn't be held accountable.
Right.
But I'm damn happy that we've got police out there, and I also think that the community has a right to be interested in a community that has as much crime as ours does. The community has a right to be interested in who's going to be leading the police. I don't think it's at all problematic for somebody to say, "Hey, let's communicate about what we're looking for in a police chief." I think that's great. I think we should communicate about that. But protect and serve. That's kind of the county executive's role too, isn't it? To protect and serve. This is something we ought to all feel good about. And so I'm as supportive as I can be of the police, and I look forward to working with the police and with the community. So much of this is just communication. If Lisa Clancy's issue here is let's communicate, I think that's wonderful. The community and the police leadership needs to be.
I don't deny that. I think that's important.
That's not a bad thing.
That's not a bad thing, but look, I mean, I usually call it the way I see it, and I know what that's certainly about. But look, I think this is going to be an interesting campaign of ideas and the quality of leadership with a couple other candidates in here. So I look forward to it, and congratulations on getting in again.
Thanks, Mark. I look forward to catching up on down the road.
Absolutely. Mark Montevani, thank you very much. He's running for county executive. We have Jake Zimmerman and Sam Page in that race already. I think there's potential here for a pretty good campaign, again, of ideas and maybe not just mudslinging. Sam Page is really not a, wouldn't want to say he's a skilled politician. He's sort of a wonky guy who's up there, and he gets this position because Steve Stenger makes some terrible mistakes and judgments that send him to prison. Jake Zimmerman, competent guy, nice guy. He's the official ginger of the Mark Reardon Show. Montevani's a guy that just exudes. He's got that feeling about him because I think he's a Republican, or he was a Republican. He sort of has a leadership aura about him. Now, that doesn't mean his ideas are all right, but if I'm handicapping the field right now, especially considering where money was involved, I might put Mark Montevani as the favorite right now. It's 248 at KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Sometimes I start to do a topic and I don't allow myself enough time to do it. So I'm going to hold on to the you can't take a joke topic for right after the top of the hour. And I have some important points to make about that I think everyone will certainly relate to, if not agree with. Maybe some folks won't relate. And I think it's an interesting timing, too. I mentioned this earlier. There was just a little one-liner that I wrote on Facebook 10 years ago today. It came up on Facebook Memories. And along the lines of what we'll discuss with the piece by Peter Melman, who used to be one of the executive producers on Seinfeld, I don't know that I could get away with that line on Facebook today. So we'll talk about it here in just a couple of minutes. A few political things before we get into the top of the hour news. Eric Schmidt's going to drop by. The attorney general kicked off his campaign again for re-election, or really for election since he was appointed to that position. Vegas tonight, big night. Bernie Sanders not going to release any more medical records.
I think we have released a detailed report, and I'm comfortable with what we have done. And by the way, you think I'm not in good health, come on out with me on the campaign trail, and I'll let you introduce me to the three or four rallies a day that we do. How's that?
Yeah, Bernie, he's not backing down from that. By the way, Chris Matthews doesn't think that Bernie supporters are going to help this country at all. Look, you have more and more people, Carville, most Democrats behind the scenes, and now Chris Matthews freaking out here.
And I hope that the candidates who have been telegraphing their punches against Sanders, Senator Sanders, are actually going to deliver them. I mean, I hope they actually do what they promised to do. Are they going to go after him about the bad behavior of Bernie supporters or not? Is this how they do things in Denmark? Nobody just says the obvious. Bernie, you're full of it. None of this is going to get passed. They're just pandering to the Bernie people. And you know what pandering gets you? Nothing. It certainly doesn't get your respect. They've got to get out there and say, I disagree with socialism. I believe in the markets. Right. I think he's wrong. I think he'll never get it done. And this country will never go that direction. And by the way, we'll lose 49 states. And I was there in 1972 at the Democratic Convention, where the people on the left were dancing in glee. I saw them. They were literally, John Kenneth Galbraith, dancing in a circle. They were so happy that they defeated the moderates by Tip O'Neill and Dick Daley, and they went on to lose 49 states in their glee. So that can happen again. So
I think it can happen again. And look, for all the talk about the Berkeley Convention, there is plenty of reason to believe that Bernie Sanders is going to perhaps have plenty of delegates to wrap this thing up with a first ballot. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but you can certainly look at the map and the way things are going to roll out here in the next couple of days, unless there's some shocker in Nevada. I'll have to try to, you know, this thing is on Saturday. I'm going to be in Las Vegas. Maybe I'll try to drop by a caucus or have my friend. My friend I'm visiting out there, he is a Democrat, although I don't think I'm pretty sure he's not a Bernie guy. He's one of those lost Democrats. He really is, because he's more of a moderate. This is my friend Rick. I had him on a couple of weeks ago. He thinks, and this was the guy for point of reference, who came on with me right after the Oscars and was frustrated because he said the Oscars were essentially a 3-hour commercial for Trump because of all the preaching from the Hollywood types. And he's a left coast elitist, my friend, self-confessed, acknowledged left coast, lefty elitist. But he still thinks, and he's frustrated, think Bernie Sanders is not the answer to the nation's problems. I haven't really spoken with him about Mike Bloomberg, but I think people are going to see through Mike Bloomberg. Look, even Bloomberg is getting into trouble because of some of the things he said. Listen to this one here about transgender people. And keep in mind, all this stuff is leaking right now because of Democrats, not Republicans.
If your conversation during a presidential election is about some guy wearing a dress and whether he, she, or it can go to and go to the locker room with their daughter, that's not a winning formula for most people.
So the funny thing about Mike Bloomberg, from everything to that comment and stop and frisk, is most of the time he's actually right. He's absolutely right about what he said there. But man, I'll tell you what, you will not, the woke crowd will not like that Mike Bloomberg. Be careful out there. Second hour coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.